Bound.
Hi, I'm Tara.
Hi, I'm Michelle. Welcome back to Books and Beyond with Bound, where we talk to some of the finest writers in India to find out what makes them tick.
Yes, and on this episode, we spoke to Bollywood biographer Yasir Usman, who's the author of Gurudath, An Unfinished Story, Rekha, The Untold Story, and The Untold Story of Rajesh Khanna. So as you can see, the words untold and unfinished are in the book's titles itself. And that made me so curious about the content.
Yeah, and you know, it made me curious about Yasir Usman as a biographer himself. Like, what does he do that other biographers don't? And that's why I wanted to speak to him.
Yeah, and so we speak a lot about, you know, his process of talking about these celebrities. And I really like the way that he weaves the celebrities' tales from various sources without sensationalizing them. So we really get to see a human side of these celebrities, and we got to see his human side as well on the podcast. One of the reasons that his biographies are so different is because he also delves a lot into these Bollywood personalities' personal lives, their relationships, illicit or legal. For example, he spoke in depth about Gurudath's art and also his relationship with his wife, the singer Geeta Dutt. And we learn what happens when two famous people get married. You know, what is the dynamic, right?
Yeah, and for me, you know, I love that he's not just interested in their art or their films, but he really wants to know how their personal lives affect them. Because after all, we all know, right? Art is influenced by the arts.
Of course, there's no art without the artist. You know, it was so lovely speaking about a bygone era of Bollywood, especially about Gurudath and Rekha, because this is an era that my parents and grandparents are used to. So it opened up so many conversations after the episode was done with them as well. And so, by the way, guys, there is something very exciting coming up in our work this month. We have our unique podcast masterclass. There's only 15 seats in this class, and it's one of the first long-form classes that we have seen in India being conducted on podcasting. So me and my co-instructor, Aishwarya Zavalgekar, are going to walk you through every step of creating your dream podcast. And we also have a special session with Savita, who is the host of Success with Savita, a women's entrepreneurship podcast that I love. So please reach out to us if you have any questions. And by the way, Aishwarya is also the host of our other podcast called The Book People, in which we interview all different personalities from the publishing industry. So if you're interested in publishing, do listen to that and reach out to us at connect@boundindia.com or DM us at boundindia to sign up for the class. But for now, let's talk to Yasir.
Hi, Yasir. Welcome to our podcast, Books and Beyond. So glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Michelle. And Books and Beyond sounds so good. I've heard a few episodes and it sounds wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Tara.
Yeah, so Yasir, you've written biographies of personalities like Rajesh Khanna, Rekha, Sanjay Dutt, and now Guru Dutt. So on the surface, these personalities seem like they have nothing in common, but they actually do. Like, they were lonely, depressed at some point or another. And you've mentioned that this loneliness is actually what drew you to these stories. So can you tell us more about this?
I always wanted to write, and I was always obsessed with Hindi cinema. So I never thought I would combine these two elements when I decided to write. But it happened when Rajesh Khanna had passed away, and I, as a TV journalist, was covering his funeral in Bombay. So in that course, I was making a documentary of half an hour or so. For that, I had to speak to a lot of people who were close to him personally or professionally. You know, they were his doctors, there were some of the family members, some friends, co-workers, co-actors, directors. So during his funeral, I spoke to a lot of people, and I realized that even the filmmaker friends were saying that he couldn't get his due, and he was so lonely during the last 15-20 years of his life. And that was something very sad, very tragic for someone who was labeled as the phenomenon. You know, that was what people used to call Rajesh Khanna. People used to say Upar Aka Niche Kaka. Kaka was his nickname. So that's when I decided that, you know, this is something I want to do. The stories of their magical successes, haunting downfalls, torrid romances, and also the making of their, you know, wonderful films. This is what I wanted to do. And it began with Rajesh Khanna. There was no hint of doing it again and again with Rekha or Sanjay Dutt or Guru Dutt. It was just a one-off thing. But I enjoyed the journey so much. More than the book, more than the name on the cover of the book, what I enjoyed was meeting those people who were working in the Hindi film industries of the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And these people telling me fascinating stories about filmmaking, about the entire process, about the stardom of these superstars. It was really, really so intriguing, so fascinating that I was totally drawn into it.
Shail and I were both millennials, so we didn't grow up with these film stars and, you know, going into these worlds, looking at Hindi cinema in a way that we hadn't was so interesting. You know, both our parents, obviously, big fans of Guru Dutt. And because we're so immersed in Bollywood of today, but I love that historical aspect that you brought in. And speaking about how you got into these biographies, we actually were having a conversation with your editor, Sayantan Ghosh. Who's the editor.
He was instrumental in getting me to write Guru Dutt.
And getting us together as well. And so he told us that it was the book on Guru Dutt was born during a conversation that you had together. So could you tell us a little anecdote about the first stages of...
I started researching on Guru Dutt, and I realized that a lot of people, there are so many accounts of Guru Dutt, and a lot of people are writing about his cinema, but mostly they are ignoring what was going on in his personal life. I do not want to just write about his art, because art is inspired by certain personal elements and personal aspects of your life, and vice versa. And no one was really ready to publish a biography of Guru Dutt. Everyone was the opinion that what's there to tell about Guru Dutt. So I was just discussing, Shantan was here at our place, and we were discussing normal cinema, politics of these ages. And then after some time, I don't know how, I think there was some song we played that evening, some Guru Dutt song. And then the conversation veered towards Guru Dutt. Why do I want to write the story of Guru Dutt? Everyone talks about the great films he made. But there was also a story running parallel to the making of these films. Pyasa or Kagaz Ke Phool or Sahib Biwi or Ghulam or Aar Paar, Mr. and Mrs. 55. Those classic Guru Dutt films, we know the making of those films. We have talked about the technical aspects of those Guru Dutt films. It is being taught in so many cinema schools, you know. These chapters on Kagaz Ke Phool, the lighting, the camera angles, the choreography, his performance as an actor, director. But when he was making where Guru Dutt in reality was had attempted suicide multiple times. He was trying to end his own life. This was happening repeatedly, 3, 4, 5 times. And someone who was so troubled in his personal life, in his mind, perhaps, maybe, he was also suffering from some mental disorder, which was never diagnosed. He was going through hell, yet he was able to create these masterpieces. This was the story. This was the thing I wanted to capture in this book. And I don't know, this conversation, like I'm narrating it to you, I perhaps narrated it to Shantan, and he immediately said that I can see a book, you know, happening. And I thought, okay, this is raat gayi, baat gayi. Who remembers such conversations after after some time? But then I got a call the next day, and he said, are we doing the book? And that's how the conversation began. And I'm so thankful to him, to the publisher, Simon & Schuster, that their belief in the book was immense.
So that's such a great story of, you know, editor-writer relationship. And I think it really did come alive, you know, those two tracks. And when I told my mom that I'm going to be interviewing you, she and you wrote a book about Guru Dutt, the first thing that she wanted to know was, you know, he was such a great man, great filmmaker. Why was he so mentally troubled? And that's something that you really did answer really well.
So I actually, you know, got talking to my father, and he's a big fan of Guru Dutt's movies. You know, his most favorite movie is CID. And when you said that, you know, there was a song playing, I was like, oh, is it Kahi Pe Nigahe, Kahi Pe Nishana? Because, you know, my father said that that's one of the most memorable songs that he had. Because I think, you know, that generation really relates to Guru Dutt's films. But what I really enjoyed about it is, you know, that led me to have a conversation with my father about it, right? So it's kind of like bridging the gap between two generations as well. So, you know, we read about, you know, your process of, you know, researching about these celebs, Yasir. So, you know, celebrities, everyone thinks, you know, their life is, it goes in a certain way. We all have different versions of our stories, you know, about their lives. So were there any preconceived notions that you had about these stars? And, you know, did they change while you were actually writing these books, while you were doing the research? Because we wanted to know, like, can a biographer's personality really come out when they are writing stories of these celebs?
I think as a biographer, I make sure that my voice is not more than their voices in the book. These narratives in my books are not judgmental narratives. I don't say that Sanjay Dutt was a bad boy or Sanjay Dutt was a good boy. I leave it to the readers. I have to narrate the events that this happened. This is a thing that happened in his life, and then he went to jail, and these are the facts. He did this in the jail, and then he came out, and, you know, whatever. And it includes his professional life, his personal life. I'll give you an example that Rekha, we know Rekha, the actress, we know her as the diva of Bollywood. That's the image we know. You know, those Kanjivaram saris, those Filmfare Award nights every year. And it was the same with me. Yet I had watched most of her films when I was a kid, when I was growing up, Khoon Bhari Maang and Phool Bhale Angare. In the 1990s, you know, we used to discuss a lot of film-related things in our drawing rooms with our parents. It has become politics now, but in our times, it used to be Bollywood mostly. Ki kya chal raha hai Bollywood mein? You know, these were staple drawing room conversation. So one fine day, I came back from school and my mother told me that Rekha has killed her husband. So this was a very strange and very scandalous thing. It was a very scandalous thing. Achha, Rekha ne apne pati ko maar diya. Ye kya hua? And it kind of remained with me. I was a kid and I was very interested in Bollywood. But, you know, despite all the stories, this one statement remained with me. Later on, I realized that Rekha's husband was this Delhi-based businessman who had committed suicide. But that sentence was still there in my mind. So after my first book was published, the Rajesh Khanna biography, I was at a dinner function at a police officer's house. So we were just talking, and I saw a picture in his drawing room. The picture had his family and Rekha with her husband, Mukesh Agrawal, who had committed suicide. So I said, "Arey, this is Rekha." He said, she came to our home and she was a nai nai bahu in Delhi and Mukesh was our friend. And this conversation was happening and then suddenly I told them that, you know, Rekha killed her husband. Rekha ne to mara tha inko. And he laughed. The police officer laughed and he said, no, this is not the truth. I'll tell you the real story. And then he narrated the story, that which was not what I had heard and what I had, you know, absorbed as a kid who loved films and film gossip. Rekha had absolutely nothing to do with the death, because they had separated months ago and she was not even in Delhi when this happened. So, you know, facts and fiction is different. The Rekha we know today is someone who never speaks to the media, who's someone who remains like to remain lonely, alone in her bungalow, who never comes out. There are no interviews. But when I started researching on Rekha, I started reading her interviews. There were regular interviews of Rekha in all the film magazines of those times in the entire 1970s till mid 80s. were, you know, absolutely phenomenal, bold interviews. And I read those interviews and I said, oh my God, this can't be Rekha. Rekha never talks to the press. And this is Rekha where she's saying, I don't believe in marriage. I can be a mother without even getting married. And she's talking openly about sex. She's talking openly about her relationship, her boyfriends, which was not the norm in the 1970s. And this was completely opposite to the Rekha we know today. So there are, it's a multi-layered narrative, like our lives. Our lives are not unidimensional. There are so many things that happen. There are so many episodes, so many anecdotes that make us, you know, what we ultimately become.
I love the story, and it got me thinking, you know, in a lot of places you mentioned that, you know, Rekha was not available for comment. So it really got me thinking about the difference between an authorized biography and an unauthorized biography. And it got me thinking, you know, how different do you think these books would have been had these celebrities been a part of this process? You know, would it have been more truthful? Would it have been less truthful?
I think had they been a part of this process, it would have been wonderful. But looking at them, I don't think it would have happened, because they are extremely, extremely image conscious. I would take the example of this biopic called Sanju. You must have watched it, the Ranbir Kapoor thing.
Yes, yes.
So they have taken the basic story. I had written up, my biography was published almost at the same time. And he was very angry, and he tweeted something that I never authorized Yasir Usman to write my story. I don't need his permission, one. Plus, everything, I covered his case. And we have seen him coming out of jail and going back to it. And there is, he being a superstar, he being the son of Sunil Dutt and Narges, every stage of his life, right from the day he was born to, you know, when he's more than 60 years of age, every event in his life was publicized. And printed and talked about in public domain. So I actually interviewed Sanjay Dutt twice or thrice when I wrote the book. It is just that it wasn't an authorized biography, which is like, okay, I'll tell you the basic difference. Authorized biography primarily means that once the book is over, the person will go through it and make required changes. Now, required changes could be anything. You know, this is a PR-driven universe, and they just want sanitized and completely sanitized versions of their lives, which I don't know why would they want to do it, because everything happened in public domain. But I think here, as a society, we are too image conscious. It is not just about film stars or politicians or public figures. I think as a society, each family is so image conscious ke log kya kahenge. That log kya kahenge hasn't served us right, but we refuse to change. In my opinion, when I decide to write a story, I just want it to be legally very, very sound. That there shouldn't be something which is untrue in terms of, you know, when I talk about legal things. So I make sure when I write about Rajesh Khanna or Sanjay Dutt or Rekha, it is their voice present in the book through their archival interviews. Because Rekha, if talking about an abuse she went through in 1969-70 on the sets of her first film, where she was kissed without her knowledge, where the director and the lead actor, they had shot a kissing scene with Rekha without telling her prior to shooting. So this was an episode where about which she don't want to talk about it now, but there were a lot of interviews she had given in the early 70s. So that became my source. It is her voice in the book, in each chapter. But during each book of mine, of course, Rajesh Khanna had passed away and Guru Dutt was no more when I wrote those books. But in case of Sanjay Dutt and Rekha, I called up Rekha and she called back. And that's when Her secretary said that as of now, we don't want to collaborate on this book, but you can go ahead. We just hope that it is a graceful account of her life.
That's so true. And I was, thinking about some of the biographies in the US, which are also very sanitized. But oftentimes you do get more truth coming from those celebrities. But somehow in Bollywood, everybody does want to have the sort of PR version. I mean, we didn't even know Deepika and Ranveer are getting married till they actually got married.
What is a life where everything is so positive, so glossy? Can there be a life? It is so unreal. In their case, whenever they decide to write their stories, positive events get magnified and negatives are completely avoided or wrapped up in a few sentences where they say, no, we never did that. It just happened due to some other reason.
I mean, but what I loved about the book was some of these interviews that Rekha did where, she is so forthcoming. And, as she said, she's speaking about things that were considered taboo at that point. So in the book also, both in Gurudat and Rekha, you mentioned, all the sources that you went through, and you went through, all these magazines. Obviously, there was no social media to go through at that time. And you really did it in a way that it wasn't sensational, but it was, I like what you said about grace, because I really did find that in the book, that it was done with a lot of grace. But what we really wanted to know was that, how can we decide, which source is credible and which are not? So, for example, you quoted Jerry Pinto a lot. So what are the parameters that make it okay for us to quote one thing versus the other? What's your process?
Mostly the most important sources. What I want to do through these books, one is Tara, that I want to humanize the enigma they are. So the making of their films, but what they were going through, what they went through to reach those heights or how the downfall happened. So the most important voices of the subjects, like I said previously, that Rekha talking about all the important events of her life. That is one thing. Now, Jerry Pinto was a film journalist in those times, and these events were happening in front of his eyes. I have to go through these journalists who were writing about these personalities. What was really happening in those times? So I get stories, behind the scenes stories. Those behind the scenes stories, when say a Bharati Pradhan, who was a senior editor, or a Shubha Day, there's so many names who were active in those times, or a Bhavna Somayaji. They were active in those times, and what they witnessed behind the scene. It is very important to take their version because it happened in front of them. So these are primarily my two important sources, and then the people close to the person, and I try to keep the pool as wide as possible because that is very important. You have to speak to at least 20, 30, 40 people. The more people you have, the more interesting the personality becomes. I'll tell you a very interesting thing. There are two biographies that came, that were published in the same year. This is a friend called Gautam Chintamani who wrote about Rajesh Khanna. His biography came, a few months before my biography was published, my Rajesh Khanna biography. So there are different sources. There are different people he had spoken to. Different sources, different filmmakers, different writers, co-actors. Writing about the same person. He was writing about Rajesh Khanna and I was writing about Rajesh Khanna, speaking to different people. Yet, the pool was very big. He talked to around 50, 60 people. I talked to about 50, 60 people. Yet, the entire story, if you read the two books, is exactly similar. You know, when people speak, when people know you closely and know about your personality, you get the same story. It's a very interesting thing to read because these two books, entirely different in their content, have the same theme. They begin similarly, they end similarly. It's the same life of Rajesh Khanna.
I never thought about it like that, yeah.
And this, I want to make a very important point, because these two happened in the 1970s, Rajesh Khanna and Rekha, when the film journalism was extremely vibrant. For example, if I, as a TV journalist, want to speak to, say, a Katrina Kaif or a Priyanka Chopra, it would be very difficult for me to reach them for even a small quote or a soundbite. Yet in the 1970s, film journalists could reach these superstars. You know, anyone could reach Rajesh Khanna for an interview. Of course, it could have taken time. But those interviews, those cover stories, those scoops, their interviews were like mind-blowing, like a five-page interview, you know, of Rajesh Khanna. And they are, I'm not talking about just one interview. And they are talking about everything that was going on there in their lives. And this was on record. And when this becomes on record, it is up to you as a writer to decide what you want to take and what you want to avoid. That's what I had done in the Rajesh Khanna and Rekha books. There were certain interviews which I, as a writer, thought, no, this is too scandalous and this doesn't add anything new to the story.
What made them so scandalous?
There were some fun interviews where they were only talking about sex. I have taken a few quotes. And such interviews actually happened in the 1970s. That was the kind of the scandalous scoops, which they were selling magazines through such interviews also. But there were good cover stories also. There were great, insightful interviews also. So you have to go through each one of them and you have to pick your whatever is adding to your story.
Right. No, but you know, what is the most fascinating bit out of this, Yasir? Like, throughout your explanation of, you know, your research process, where you look for these interviews, you speak to 50, 60 people. I was, you know, curious about where it all began, because you seem like a personality who just loves getting stories from people. So, you know, can you share an anecdote from your childhood where your love for films and filmy personalities began?
So my father is retired now. He was a principal in the college, but before that, during my childhood, he was a chemistry professor. So, but a Dilip Kumar fan, and we used to have a lot of conversations regarding film. And there was just Doordarshan, and there was one video cassette recorder, VCR, as we used to call it during my childhood. Like, films were allowed. Let's say that films were allowed. And when films were allowed, I was a diehard Amitabh Bachchan fan. I wanted to watch each and every Amitabh Bachchan film. That began with the films, The First Love. And then there was a bookstall. And in those days, there was a system of renting magazines, like 1 rupee for a day. So there were a lot of magazines, kids' magazines, film magazines, cricket magazines. So they had a huge collection of film magazines, I remember. Hindi as well as English. So Stardust was their Film Fair, Filmi Kaliya, Filmi Dunya. In my father's college, there was a library where there were books, biographies on cinema stars. But I realized I was quite underwhelmed. I found these... their interviews were so interesting, but these books were not interesting. What should I do? And then this love of Bollywood and Hindi cinema kind of continued throughout the school. And then I came to Delhi for college. And that's when I was, I realized that there are books, there are many books on cinema. You know, film stars, there are many books on Satyajit Ray, there are books on Bimal Roy's films. So I was like so happy. I said, okay, this can be something, you know, you must read these books. And I started reading. So the books on making of films and technical books were really nice, really eye-openers. But there were lesser books on popular culture, commercial films and commercial film stars. And I grew up, watching commercial cinema.
So we very much relate, but it's so interesting, because you have so many years of experience covering the film industry, and that's obviously given you so much insight into these celebrity lives. And we were wondering, you know, what about writers who want to be biographers who are not experts in this field? Like, what if I wanted to write a biography about Kajol, say?
First and foremost, get in touch with Kajol. But that's a very important step. I am not saying she would agree to what you want to do. But let's get her, even if she doesn't agree, try to get an interview. Okay, just tell her that I only want to talk about, you know, take your interview about your professional life if you don't want to talk about your personal life. That's the first step. I think you must get in touch with them. One, if she refused to be a part of your project, I think there are still ways of writing about Kajol. And you know, right or wrong way, I would never say, because if you want to write about a person, it could be a biography, it could be only about her cinema, it could be about her life choices and your opinion about it. It could be anything, as long as it is not derogatory, as long as it is graceful. I think you're legally safe. And mostly, if she is not a part of it, you have to speak to people who work close to her or who had worked with her in the industry. And of course, her own interviews, her own voice, that should not be missed. So it'll take time, because these interviews, it is a research process. It is like if you want to write a book on economics, despite you being a student of economics and knows the basics and you know the basics of economics, you still have to research a lot. I think the word is research, because when people read about a book, any book of mine, and they pass a judgment, I'm okay with it. And they say, nahin, yaar, Rekha wali to bahut scandalous hai, Guru Dutt theek hai. But I want to tell them that it is because Rekha's life was scandalous, and her statements were scandalous, and she wanted to be a scandalous actress. That's why the narration there sounds to you as scandalous. It is not my voice, it is her voice. And when you talk about that, okay, Guru Dutt's book is too melancholic, it is because Guru Dutt was a melancholic person. He never communicated. He was talking about sadness most of the time. So you think, nahin, ye serious book hai, lekin wo gossipy book hai. No, it doesn't work that way. So write about Kajol. I would love to read it.
Yeah, no, and I do hope that, you know, she hears this, or someone who knows her.
When I was a kid, I think all of us got that Kajol haircut. I remember getting it.
Yeah, that's what popular culture does to you, because as writers, when we decide to become writers, the first thing is, nahin, kuch serious likhte hain. Let's write something serious. I always give example of Satyajit Ray. Achha, even Guru Dutt. He said, nahin, tumne Sanjay Dutt likhi hai na, there's this masala quality about it. Why do you want to write such a serious subject?
You know, you cover such dark elements of these people's lives, you know. So we wanted to know, how do you take care of your mental health, you know, while you actually cover, you know, the mental health of these people?
It only happened with me when I was writing about Guru Dutt, because I think we are living in these COVID times, and especially the second part of Guru Dutt. I mean, the last 3 years of his life, when the mental agony was at its peak, and when he had stopped communicating with friends and family, what he was going through, and when he had committed suicide for at least 3 times in these last 3 years. So this was very dark, that why is he trying to end his life? And his constant refrain to his friends was, I think I'll go crazy. Mujhe lagta hai ki main pagal ho jaunga. So he'll repeatedly say this. And in the early 1960s, when this was happening, there wasn't much awareness about mental issues. So his sister, Lalita Lajmi, who collaborated with me on this book, she told me that there were a lot of times, even after he had committed suicide and he went into coma, and then he came out of coma. And there were nights when he used to just call at 12 in the night, 1:30 in the morning, and say, come over, I want to talk to you. And they were very scared. The sister was very scared. Her husband was very scared. Ki, phir toh kuch nahi kar lenge. Is he going to commit suicide again? Let's go. And they used to rush. And they would find Guru Dutt sitting quietly in a corner in his balcony, thinking about something. And they would ask him again, that why have you called us? Do you want to say something? Do you want to talk about something? Is something bothering you? And he would never say anything. He would never communicate. And he would just sit. He would say, Naini, have tea, have some food. And this will happen again and again. And then finally, one fine day, he succeeded in taking his own life. And before that happened, a doctor even told the family that he needs a psychiatrist. So the family called up a psychiatrist. He came. He spoke to Gurudat for an hour and so. And then he came out and he asked for the payment and said, how much? He said, rupees 500. And rupees 500, Gurudat's sister told me, used to be a huge amount in 1961-62. So we just laughed that he just... She told me that we just laughed.
Yeah, there was no awareness.
Karne ke 500 rupees le gaya hai. We just took 500 for just having a conversation. Okay, and then she said, we never called him again. And later on, she had tears in her eyes when she was narrating this to me. She said, oh, that was such a blunder we made. And we had no awareness that we could have continued with that psychiatrist. It could have saved my brother and he could have contributed so much to cinema. Could have lived for many years. It could have helped him a lot. And while I was writing the book, so Sushant Singh Rajput's case happened. I was covering it. I was during the daytime. I used to write scripts on Sushant's death, and the entire media was talking about his mental issues. And I realized that from 1964 to 2020, nothing has changed in terms of how, as a society, we view mental issues. We are not sensitive enough even now after 60, 70 years. And also repeatedly talking about death, writing about Gurudat's last few years, it became kind of dark because working from home, COVID, we had no clue what COVID was all about, what was happening. So
exactly.
there was a small phase of a month when I really went through this change. I said, what's happening here? And constantly I was thinking about what Gurudat must be going through. And it is not right. As a writer, you have to go through, you have to be as emotional, think emotionally, but to get into that mental frame of your subject. But it kind of became very, very unhealthy, very negative.
And what helped you? What helped you during that phase, Yasir?
Talking to people. When I started talking to her sister, it really helped. Because initially, she also started telling me that when I talked, because she talked to me twice, and then she said, "No, I don't want to because I couldn't sleep last night because I had to go through all the pain again." So I understood. At that time, I understood. I said, okay, if you don't want to talk, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with your two interviews. But then that bonding continued. We were talking on a daily basis. There are many recorded interviews. And that kind of helped. We helped each other through those phone calls, through those video calls. And then I went to meet her after lockdown was lifted. And that was kind of cathartic. She cried and she gave me all those albums, personal albums and diaries of Gurudat. And then she said, "Nahi, I wanted, even there were previous accounts, previous books on Gurudat, but I never talked because she is very, is 88. And she said, I've never talked about it. But after talking to you, I've realized that since years, I wanted to talk about it, get it out of my system. So after those conversations, I think those conversations really helped. This I realized later after the book was published.
No, talking really, really helps. And it's really nice to hear that you had that space, while you were writing the book. That definitely makes it easier. So that brings us to our rapid fire round.
Are you going to courier me a hamper? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Films or books?
Films.
Okay. Your dream project?
I don't have a dream project, yaar. I want to, write biopics for screen now. Because I think I have this expertise of writing biographies, plus I work in TV and I produce TV shows. I want to, experience that aspect of writing biographies, writing biopics, seeing it on screen.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I love biopics of some of my favorite genres for movies.
Yes. One superstar you wish were alive today and why?
I think Rajesh Khanna.
No, definitely. Okay, so one biography apart from your own that you consider to be the most well-written.
No, there are many good books also. There was this book called The Kapoors, about the Kapoor family, Mona Jain. There are many other books also. But recently, of course, this Life and Times of Parveen Babi by Karishma Upadhyay, it is mind-blowing. Excellent book. Very well researched. And it brings to life the entire life of Parveen Babi. Such a fascinating character. Very well written.
Yeah, thanks. I'll definitely check it out.
That sounds really cool. Okay. Top three books that you read during the pandemic.
Oh, there was this book called Black Swan by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. You must read it. It's about the Black Swan events, which no one can predict. So they're calling this pandemic a Black Swan event. So this was one book. Number two, of course, was Parveen Babi. Number three was, which was the book? Some self-help book I was reading. I don't remember the name. But I wasn't reading much because I was writing. Then the Gurudat book was published and I got busy with talking about the Gurudat book.
Great. And in terms of book projects, what's next for you?
I haven't decided. I really haven't decided. But I think there are a lot of stories I want to tell, Tara, Michelle. There's so many stories that, you know, each book takes at least 2 years of my life. So I have decided, and I realize I don't know if I'll get to do this, but I want co-writers to collaborate on certain stories because there are many stories I want to tell, and I'm looking for co-writers where I can collaborate on different stories at the same time.
So maybe any listener of ours who's interested.
Yeah. Anyone who loves, not just loves, but is obsessed with Hindi cinema, I would love to collaborate. And
yeah, I think obsessed is the right word.
I think yes. These stories should be documented because a generation will pass and there are many stories we'll lose certain stories.
Yeah, you have to be very selective.
Yeah, you have to be very selective. So I haven't finalized any subject, maybe in a few months.
It was wonderful talking to you, Yasir. We've had so many questions since we read your books and we've had all of them answered. So thank you so much for sharing insights. Tara, I think we should get started on that Kajol biography.
I would love to collaborate with you.
Yeah. No, and because of you, Yasir, I'm going to read, you know, many more biographies because once I get into a particular genre, you know, I go all, so I'm definitely going to pick up the Babi book and, you know, all those other recommendations. So thank you so much. We loved all your stories.
Thank you. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, Michelle. It was lovely talking to you.
I loved his zeal, Tara. I mean, you know, he wants to uncover the truth about Bollywood celeb life. It's just like the way we actually uncover these writers' personal lives on the podcast, right?
Yeah, really. And so many of our listeners, you guys have reached out to us and said that, you know, you really like the way that we interview these authors because we find out so much more than the book. It's truly books and beyond.
We love to dissect the process.
And speaking of that, as you guys know, we are a story company and we help everybody tell their stories. By the way, guys, we have, as I mentioned earlier, we have this unique, amazing podcasting long form class. So it's going to be a 2-week class with 11 hours of live training. You're going to get to record your own trailer. It's going to be a lot of fun. There are only a few seats left. So if you're interested and you want to know more, you can always reach out to us at connect@boundindia.com or you can DM us at boundindia.
Yeah, and on the next episode, we will be talking to Farah Bashir. She's the author of the memoir Rumors of Spring, which is about her growing up in Kashmir. And when Tara and I read the book, we knew we had to speak to her. We had read nothing like this coming-of-age story earlier.
Yeah, we can't wait to speak to her. Michelle and I buddy read the book as we always do. And we're wondering, you know, she transformed so much of her growing up years. She speaks so vulnerably about the trauma that she went through growing up in Kashmir into something so beautiful. And I'm personally dying to know more about her grandmom,
yeah,
Bobe,
yeah.
Who's the life source of the book. And as you guys already must be knowing, we're quite fond of our grandmoms. So tune in next Wednesday to catch us speaking to Farah.